58, I don't know, whatever. Who's counting anymore?
Started kind of young, didn't we?
Yeah. But I can't even think of anything. Just to sort of backtrack, I mean, we can go all the way back to 5:45 here on the show on Friday, where we were starting to get indications off the air that maybe, in fact, the planned execution of Michael Ross at 2 a.m. that morning wasn't going to happen. Although we were kind of reluctant to say anything too dispositive about that. And then, around 10:30 at night, I got a call from somebody telling me kind of what had happened. I mean, by this time, I guess AP had a copy of this extraordinary telephone hearing that Judge Chotiny had conducted. And so somebody called me up and said, you know, who knew about this, and said, you know, basically the way it is right now, unless T.R. Balding bangs his head on a cell door, you know, walking around up there and knocks himself unconscious, he's going to do something in between now and 2 a.m. to derail this execution. I called our news department and made sure that they knew that. Phil Pierce already basically knew that. And then I had this sort of strangely, you know, the cognitively dissonant experience of watching TV news, where all three of these stations seems not to have grasped that fact. Now, I'm not a very good reporter. I mean, I may have other things to offer the world, but I mean, nobody ever really called me a great reporter. So if I knew that, I can't imagine that they don't have somebody there who could, you know, figure this thing out. And I'm watching them, and they're all doing the same show. They're all saying, well, there's no turning back now. He's getting executed in 3 hours, and, you know, here we go. And Lisa, whatever her name is, from Channel 30, is one of the observers, and she's talking about how she's going to get on the bus pretty soon, and they're asking her how she feels now that it's really going to happen, all this stuff. And I'm sitting there watching TV going, I mean, I'm all by myself, but I'm going, it's not going to happen. What are they talking about? It's not going to happen. You know, and they should know that. I mean, as I say, AP at that point had been for hours interviewing people connected to this based on comments that they were extracting from the transcript of Chotiny's hearing. So if AP had gotten their mitts on a transcript of Chotiny's hearing, that means they knew that AP, which feeds all of us, basically, and I'm sure the Current knew, and I mean, if these people had taking their eye off the gladiator spectacle that they're busy selling us for 2 seconds, TV News could have figured out that this wasn't going to happen. I sometimes I do this just to amuse ourselves, but I'm not really in the business of dumping over coffee.
Very nice.
I'm not in the business of dumping all over TV News.
That's usually my specialty.
Yeah, this is my New York Times, too. But, you know, I really do think that I was surprised by the degree they missed the boat on this story. I mean, I thought that was a pretty easy thing to sort of at least cover yourself a little bit. But then they really talked about it as though it was a completely done deal. Anyway, and this is where I'm upset with them because it actually affects my life. I go to bed that night. I went to bed in a state of apoplexy, you know. I mean, I went to bed sort of thinking, well, I don't understand. Is there an execution or isn't? Because I've been told by people who are, you know, knowledgeable about the case. I've been told on the phone that there's not one, but I'm watching TV news and it looks like there is one. And I mean, they were all three of them. I dialed around, you know, Channel 3 and Channel 8 and Channel 30. They were all saying the same thing. Here goes the execution. Get ready. Well, by the time you get up tomorrow, Michael Ross is going to be dead. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I feel like I know for a fact that's not true. So anyway, I went to sleep. I was all upset. Now, I usually don't remember my dreams. And I usually also don't have dreams so vivid as to wake me up. I'm a poor sleeper, but I don't think it's because my dreams wake me up. I wake up in the middle of the night from a dream in which someone is menacing me with rattlesnakes. This is really true. Someone's like putting rattlesnakes on my body and stuff like that. And I wake up and my heart is pounding. I'm lying in darkness, you know, and I'm just trying to calm down from how frightened I was in the dream where someone's putting rattlesnakes on my body. And so I lie there for a while, boom, 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 my heart's pounding. And then I finally decide, I almost got myself kind of calmed down, and I start wondering what time it is. Like, is it almost time to get up, or what? I have no idea. I turn on the light to look at the clock. It's 2:20, and I've been lying there for about 20 minutes. So it means that I was having this dream about rattlesnakes in my body at exactly the time that I at least thought Michael Ross might be getting executed. Which is probably not that uncommon. I bet you
that's
this
wild.
Is you know, people are having all kinds of strange experiences because you're just constantly confronted with this thing all
the
time.
Yeah, I do. I had to get up at 2 o'clock, and when it was just a strange feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what it was. It was almost like a sadness. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, I questioned myself, why are you getting sad over somebody like that?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, did some pretty horrible things.
Yeah.
And
I think you're not sorry for him. You're sorry for us.
Well, that was it.
That was it.
And after a further, exploration, if you will, I guess that's what I came to. But it's really weird how that can really throw you for a loop.
Absolutely. Now,
I didn't have any rattlesnakes, so I'm sorry. No. I came up a little short on that.
It's my own.
I wouldn't have made it through the rattlesnake thing. Snakes are not big with me.
I think I was probably also a game about wieners or something like that. I'm not really sure. I'm not in therapy anymore. I don't have a lot of help with this stuff. But, anyway, that's that.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Then the next day, I mean, I'm listening to the Stan Simpson show, and people are tearing shot me apart. And I think that's wrong. I've really done a lot of thinking about this. First of all, my advice to anybody who's sort of thinking about having a lot of opinions about this, at least read the transcript. Read the transcript. It's 30 pages long, but they're short pages. They're these little PDF pages. You can read the transcript in 7 or 8 minutes of the Shotney hearing, of this teleconferencing hearing that he conducts. And also a lot of it is like they keep dropping the connection and they have to give the conference call code out again. That's all transcripted. So you can skip over that part. There's really not a lot of material you have to cover. But first of all, it's like something out of a Scott Turow novel, what's in there. I mean, you'll be reading something that it just won't resemble anything that you've ever heard of or seen before. And, in fact, if they had something like this on an episode of, say, Law and Order or something, I'd be sitting there going, oh, no freaking way. I mean, that would never happen. But I think Shotney's a hero, actually. I mean, I know a lot of people don't, and I listen to Stan's show, and callers were ripping Shotney apart and stuff, at least while I was listening. And I listened to Roy and Debbie this morning, and Norm Pattis made me really mad. Norm Pattis ripped into Shotney. Norm Pattis, who's a defense attorney, I know, who just should know better. But anyway, he was ripping into Shotney.
Well, I just have one thing to say from the people of Connecticut to the people of South Bend, Indiana. Please don't hurt us! Help me! It's time for Sports at 12. Thank you, Sir Kevin and then, Mr. Stevens and myself, Louis Gondelamere.
Well, I guess we showed them.
I think now it's cemented.
That was pretty much mandatory for learning to graduate from Yale. You had to learn how to do a chicken singing in the mood.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good.
Yeah, I learned well. So, in your own words, were you here during this, when the state was evacuated?
Yes, I was.
Okay, in your own words, could you describe what happened? Because I missed this whole thing. Your own words.
Basically, what happened was somebody came...
Excuse me, in your own words, please. Okay, go ahead.
Like, who are you all of a sudden?
I mean, I know, I just like saying that.
In my own words.
In your own words.
Someone came running down the hall and said, there's a thing on the emergency broadcast or whatever it is.
Someone?
Now.
Someone said that?
Somebody said that. I don't know who.
Someone you've seen before, however.
They said on these message things that we have in here, that there was something coming over about evacuating the state of Connecticut, which seemed a bit far-fetched. So I walked.
I think it's because of the pothole repair on I-84. They considered just evacuating the state because
might as well.
They may have overreacted a little bit to the situation.
So I went to the newsroom, and at which time I saw Dana Whalen calling.
Is this still in your own ward?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I saw her calling some people, and I guess they got it all straightened out, and apparently it was false.
Yeah. Is Dana sort of the ultimate authority in the state of Connecticut about whether we evacuate or not? I'm not even sure about that.
I think either Dana or Sal Haney.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which. No, I'm sorry. Sal Haney makes you want to evacuate the state of Connecticut.
Right.
That's what
the
it is.
The old days, Jim Colbert had the final call on this, but I don't really know who it is now. So we say what we now know is the offices at the state office of emergency management. Is this Vinny DeRosa's old department? Do we know? They say they're investigating just, and then they have somebody has in quotation marks how, as though how were kind of an obscure word that is being misapplied here or something. Mm-hmm. Just how an emergency message was issued this afternoon. Automated equipment at broadcast stations and cable systems was triggered by the false emergency, false message shortly after 2. I have the message, which they stress was false. Called for evacuations of the state. In the event the state's evacuated, where are we supposed to go?
That's what I wanted to know. Do we go to Rhode Island? Do we go to New York? Do we go
like A through K goes to Rhode Island? You know, is it by like first initial of last name or something?
I don't know.
Maybe that's the kind of thing.
I don't think we've ever been schooled in that kind of thing.
No, I don't think there's really, it's like we haven't ever had a fire drill for the whole state.
Perhaps, right. If it were real, maybe they'd tell you.
Yeah.
If your last name begins with P, for example, you'd go to...
And you live in such and such a... I mean, it seems to me there's no point in me evacuating to New York City just because my last name begins with M. I mean, I should probably be heading for Springfield or something.
I would think.
Although I feel like some of us should just go down with the state, you know? I'm sort of like the captain of a ship or something. We just stay
under what circumstance, think about it, under what circumstance would you actually evacuate the entire state?
Well, actually, it's happening on the show 24 right now because the terrorists they've used this thing called the Override.
And 24 would be what?
This show I watch.
A fictional television show.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, though, that they've got this thing called the Override, and they can use it to make nuclear power plants melt down, and they can just override the controls and stuff.
Who can?
The terrorists. So, under those circumstances, if that were happening and if Jack Bauer couldn't figure out something to do about it, fortunately, Jack Bauer and some of the other people in 24 usually find some way to get us out of this.
Who would be the equivalent in Connecticut? Who would be the equivalent of Jack Bauer?
Jack Bauer?
Blumenthal?
I think Paul Vance actually is.
Paul Vance?
Yeah, he's the Jack Bauer of Connecticut. He's the designated Jack Bauer surrogate.
I'm sorry, I don't see Paul Vance as Jack Bauer.
Maybe we don't have one. I'm not really sure. But anyway, somebody would maybe get us out of it. But otherwise, yes, I mean, in the situation that they're expressing right now on the show 24, you might have to evacuate the state. But I think what the protocol is for Jody Rell to come on TV and say she's sad as hell about this, but we have to evacuate the state.
She's upset.
She's upset. If she doesn't express an emotion, you don't have to really leave. Anyway, if anybody else knows anything more about this, our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-6-WTIC, start of...
Why would somebody know more about it?
Maybe
people
have their own plan.
We're supposed to be the ones telling the public.
Is there a fallout shelter here at the Offworld Colony?
I have no idea.
Actually, the Offworld Colony is a fallout storage facility. Why would there be a shelter here? That's kind of a stupid question on my part, isn't it?
I think the first thing we should do in the event of something like that is make a beeline for Trump.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's a good idea. The people,
they got to have
a company down the road called Trump that's probably behind most of the major American disasters and fiascos the last 30 years. And they probably have all kinds of situation rooms or what do they call those rooms? Safe rooms.
Yeah.
Safe rooms.
I'm thinking they do. And I bet they're big ones too, and they could get a lot of people in there.
Clean rooms, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I also have to assume that from working here at the Offworld Colony as we do, we're probably immune to a lot of things. I mean, I would imagine our thyroids are just going to build up immunity against a lot of stuff. Daily exposure to it. I mean, we actually work at a sort of brownfield reclamation site that, you know, can only be used for radio shows and Tommaso-built hockey rinks. The only safe uses of it.
I believe that's soccer.
Oh, I don't know what it is
hockey.
Over there. Who knows what they're doing in there? They don't ever invite me. Okay, soccer then.
Yeah.
Should we talk to Paul?
Yes, I think we should because it apparently is some clue here. Yeah. What we're talking about. Paul?
Yeah.
Or no clue.
You guys were asking what reason we would need to leave the state of Connecticut.
Yeah, dude.
If they let Michael Ross out of jail.
That's true.
Well, you know, I got to admit to you guys, I lived in such a terrible neighborhood in Hartford.
Yeah.
That the Homeland Security will go there.
Yeah. All right. Well, your cell service in that neighborhood is not very good either, so right. I'm going to say goodbye. But
unfortunately, it's breaking up.
Another, I think another reason we might have to evacuate the state, if Al Terzi were to resign, like with Tony Terzi, I don't know if you've been following this thing today, but Chris Francis has become, he's doing an investigation of this incident that may have happened on Channel 61. Maybe one of our viewers actually saw this. But I was even going to ask Mr. Ambrosio about it.
Well, he's here.
Fetching new cast, you have, by the way. So,
I was surprised you hadn't brought it up sooner. Actually, yeah. It was a little
There's
bit
so
hurt.
So much to cover here. We almost evacuated the state. I mean,
well,
otherwise,
it's my cast. To me, it's yeah. pretty damn important.
The well, Chris Francis has been investigating this situation where I guess Tony Terzi is retiring from sports coverage of Channel 61.
Retiring?
Well, he's gonna take another job where he has more time for his family.
Oh.
He's got a different job. He's not going to be on television anymore. I forget what he's doing. And so I don't know the details of this because Chris Francis, who doesn't even bother to email me most of the time anyway because he didn't even like me, I guess he included me in some global email about how apparently Rich Coppola and Tony Terzi were just sobbing like little girls on TV, I think Sunday night, as they were sort of...
That's a bit much, isn't it?
Talking about...
Did we cry when Dean left?
No, we didn't cry. We didn't even know when Dean left. Dean was like, you know, Robert Vesco or something. I mean, he was gone. The petty cash was gone. A whole bunch of stuff in the candy machine was
still. There's still a one station vehicle missing.
And somebody busted into the change thing on the vending machines, and Dean never came back. So that's a little different. That kind of resignation, where people, you know, actually steal things and then leave. But no, I don't know. And you know, I mean, they're talking about tsunamis and stuff like that all the time. They don't cry.
Right, you know, hundreds, thousands of people killed. Yeah. No crying going on, but somebody's going to leave, they cry.
He's going to go, you know, sell carpet or something, and suddenly we're just, you know.
Is that what he's doing?
I don't know what it is. He's doing something. Suddenly we're just, you know, sobbing. Anyway.
That seems a bit much.
Joining us now is...
Okay, here we go.
This is our expert. This is our director of Homeland Security.
Exactly.
Joining us now... the person that we would turn to in the event that there's some necessity to evacuate the state, it's JP, the Doomsday Economist.
If there's a chemical scud attack in Israel, evacuate the state.
Okay. Where would we go, though? I mean, if there's a chemical scud attack in Israel, where would we go?
I don't know, Tahiti.
Well, I mean, by the time we got there, we'd be cinders. Maybe we should go to Vermont.
Well, did you know that in terms of a nuclear war, civil preparedness, the whole plan is strategic relocation. They're going to take people from Connecticut and put them into, like, small towns in upstate New York and Vermont and stuff.
Yeah. Do we have to get, like, civil unions and things?
What's that?
We have to, like, get civil unions and live as gay people up there and stuff? I mean, not that I would mind. Just I need to know what clothes to bring, basically.
Sure, you got to have an extra short arm somewhere or something like that.
If I'm going to live as a gay man, I'm going to bring a couple of Fair Isle sweaters with me. That would be the plan. Because I saw The Day After Tomorrow, I mean, the movie, and we go to Mexico.
Yeah. But on that note, the what's going on between Syria and Russia is somewhat disturbing.
Yeah. How disturbing?
Because the United States might be striking Syria, insurgent camps in Syria, and that could happen relatively soon.
Yeah. And then Russia would do what?
Russia will back up Damascus.
Yeah.
So
we could be, it could be just like 1962 all over again.
Huh? Who knows?
We'd be back in the Cold War.
That's right. But I retired from all that anyway, so.
Oh, you're not even a doomsday economist anymore?
That's not even.
Not even?
No. Well, American.
Well, there's no point in even going on then for us.
That's right.
Wow. If we don't have that to turn to.
Why don't we just quit too?
We might as well just hang it up right now.
So you're saying that just because the end of the world didn't happen your way, you're going to take your bat and your crystal ball and you're going to go home because you don't like the way the world's going to end?
Well, it's not that it went my way. It's just that Tom Brokaw retired.
So no, I understand, Tom Brokaw. So in other words, the vision that you had of how the world was going to end is not going to happen because it's the wrong anchor man. And because of that, you're quitting? How freaking petty can you be?
I'm sorry.
Did Nostradamus say, hey, you know what? Some of these quatrains are not coming true. I hate this job. I'm going off to, you know, sell herbs or something.
That sort of pessimism doesn't work in this society.
You know,
so.
Herbs.
Or whatever. What would Nostradamus have done?
I don't know. Had a
push cart somewhere in Lyon or something, you know. I mean,
bread.
Yeah.
You carry a picket sign to the streets of Hartford all day. Yeah, no. No, you got to work to make a living. And think optimistically. That's America.
So you're like JP, the optimistic economist?
I wouldn't go that far.
JP, the capitalist.
JP, the Pollyanna-ish doomsday economist?
JP, got to pay his bills day to day, JP.
I mean, I understand that, but, you know, once again,
But you could still do it on the side.
The seers and prophets of the past didn't take that point of view.
But, I mean, how do you say, to think that that's actually the case, either I'm a madman or a visionary. So I accept the madman bit, and I retire.
I didn't hear Nostradamus say, I'm getting my real estate license because this thing doesn't pay that well.
Well, who knows? I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know. Don't give it up. We need you, all right? You don't have to be full-time at it. You don't have to go at it.
I promise I'll keep in touch.
Yeah,
oh, by the way, February 6th is the anniversary of the Vision of the Chemical Scudder. If it happens February 6th, then definitely.
You should definitely call in that day.
Get the RV and head for upstate New York.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much for talking to us.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
WTF.
People would enjoy evacuating the state. Yeah, I think if you've got the appropriate music, it makes it so much more special.
Okay, so I think we've covered that. You don't have to evacuate the state, and even if you did, you wouldn't know where to go anyway. So you're curled in a fetal position. Federal authorities announced today that over the last 6 months, they have taken down what they believe is one of the largest crack cocaine distribution systems in the state. It's been based in Hartford. It has a delivery.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 45 points. The Nasdaq's up about 3. I'm Dana Whalen, WTIC 1080 News.
Nazir Sultan, who's a student at Hartford Seminary, but even more interesting than that, a chaplain for the Islamic community and for the Islamic outreach from the Islamic community to the campus of Trinity College. And
it hasn't been decided yet?
To the best of my knowledge, no.
Well,
I mean, there is no...
And then the other thing is, perhaps this thing about evacuate Connecticut,
right.
Perhaps that's the watchword that we better... Forget Ross and get busy and take care of what are we going to do if something like this does happen to us.
Evacuate Connecticut?
Yeah,
I'll come get you, all right?
I'm going to stay and wait for the radiation.
No, I'll come get you, all right? Give Bobby your address. I'll come pick you up.
Huh?
Give Bobby your address. I'll come pick you up. We have to evacuate. I'll drive over there and get you.
It's going
to
end up Michael Ross to be the only one left in Connecticut. Everybody else will...
We'll send somebody out. You don't have to worry, Bobby.
Well,
all right? Thank you for your very comprehensive call.
About the Viagra.
Yeah.
I wonder what my doctor will say when I tell him I want a prescription.
I'm certainly going to go tell my doctor my heart's getting tiny.
Goodbye.
Right. Oh, no, actually, I should be telling him my heart's getting too big, right?
Tell him whatever you want.
Yeah.
So it'll be between you and your doctor.
Do you see it? They was for enlarged hearts. It was to make them de-enlarge, but then it turns out it enlarges something else while it's shrinking your heart.
Yeah, it's a two-for-one deal.
It doesn't really enlarge it. It just kind of kickstarts it, but... all right. Well, fine. Our numbers are 522... You know what I discovered today? I don't own a necktie. I literally don't own a necktie.
You've had ties on before.
Well, when I moved, I didn't have very many neckties because I don't like wearing them. I'm turning into Ted Williams. Remember, Ted Williams would not wear a necktie.
Ted Williams didn't need to wear a necktie.
Yeah, he would do, and because he was Ted Williams, it was almost impossible to ever make him wear a necktie.
Right,
and he could legitimately say that, but I'm not Ted Williams. But I don't like wearing neckties, and over the years, I've owned fewer and fewer of them. And then I think when I was moving, I moved a couple of times this summer. They're gone. I don't own any neckties.
Uh-huh.
Except that I would like to thank the Parsons family, who sent me quite some time ago an I Hate Rush Limbaugh necktie, which I've kept at my desk for quite some time, and I have to go to a meeting tonight, at which I really have no choice but to wear a tie. And so I'm going to wear the I Hate Rush Limbaugh.
You're wearing that tie to a meeting?
Yeah, to my Twilight Club meeting, yeah. I don't own another tie. And as a matter of fact, I haven't been to...
You might find this a difficult concept to understand, but there actually are stores that sell those.
Yeah, I know. I get depressed thinking about going and buying one, though.
Well, I'll go buy you one.
Would you buy me a necktie?
Sure.
If I give you the money? I'll give you my credit card. What do you think I'd look good in?
I don't know. I'll pick you out something if you want.
You have great
taste. Something in a silk?
Yeah. Something in a, I don't want Teflon, if that's what you're asking.
Silk.
Silk, I think.
Yeah.
Something in a nice lycra.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Anyway, our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC.
Get something like this, you don't have to worry about ties, because you couldn't possibly tie it.
Yeah, he's pointing to his cast. Bruce has a lovely new azure cast, a lovely blue cast on today.
Yes. They gave me a choice of different colors, and I went with the blue.
But they gave you blue and pink, right? Those
they gave
choices?
Me pink. No, they...
Was there any
they
other choice?
Red, green, pink, white, blue...
Hmm. How many more casts? Is this your last cast?
This will be it, I guess.
Yeah.
For another almost, about 4 weeks.
Well, you could probably spray paint it, too, if you get tired of that, right?
Yeah, I would think. Yeah. But I think it's a nice color.
Or start drawing little pictures on it, or put stickers on it, or something like that. It seems to me that it's a nice cast, but it might need to be spruced up over time.
It was really strange having this thing off for a few minutes.
All right, we have to go. We have a special call coming in on line one. Joining us right now is special correspondent Tom from West Archer.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hi.
Now, the problem is, every time Bob Cox comes on the radio, Samantha starts putting on the high heels and the stockings and stuff. And the thing is, hold on. Can I put on Samantha?
Absolutely. Let her speak her own heart. Speak for yourself, Samantha.
Oh, Lord.
Hi, I'm Samantha. Well, Tom's been abusing me lately. You know what he's done is, he had me out in the snow with my steel-toed high heels and my mink coat, and I wasn't wearing anything underneath, and I had my brass knuckles. I kept dropping my cigar, and then he told me I missed a spot in the driveway. I think I'm being abused, but I kind of like it, but I'm looking for a new boyfriend,
And?
I think, could you ask Bob Cox what he's doing tonight?
Bob Cox is one very attractive guy. Do you have any idea how good-looking he is? Have you ever actually seen him?
Well, no, but I like the voice.
He's got a whole Clint Eastwood kind of macho thing.
Ooh. Well, maybe I can be abused by him.
I have to speak tonight. I'm delivering a paper.
Well, with that tie on?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Jackie in the car. Hi.
Jackie, rouse yourself.
Hello?
Hello?
There she is. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi.
Your first name is what?
What?
Your first name?
No, it's Colin.
Colin.
What?
Your name is Colin?
Yes, it is.
Bruce?
Yes.
Bruce?
Yes.
I can send you a beautiful necktie for free.
For free?
For free.
If I send it to him, what has he ever done for you?
It's going to be brand new.
Yeah?
I get them at Christmas for all my male relatives, and they don't even know where they come from.
And where do they come from?
The Salvation Army.
Oh. But what if they're like...
They're rich. They sell the house, and those that inherit the house, they die, they sell the house, and the necktie goes to the Salvation Army.
Let me just ask you this, though. I mean, what if it's like, you know, somebody's been wearing it and doing some kind of icky thing in it? You know what I mean?
What?
Well, you know, like, I don't know, what if somebody's doing some kind of weird Sandra Scantling kind of personal physical activity with his tie on, and then I'm wearing it afterwards?
No, nobody wore that. Right. I am talking about were brand new, not used, because the people had them in their closet. They never wore them.
How do you know that?
I know that by looking. By know, I used to sell garments.
Not necessary to shout.
Huh?
You're frightening me.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I used to sell garments in Montreal. I know what they look like.
Oh, okay.
They're brand new. Don't worry about that.
So you're going to get me a tie?
I'm going to send you a tie if you need, if you look for one, and a very pretty one.
I would like something that you picked out for me.
Right.
Well, just because, I mean, I think you're a person of taste and discernment, and I have romantic feelings towards you.
Right. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
I'm an old bitch.
No, that's Mary from New Hartford. You're getting confused. You're so confused with one of our other callers.
I'm an old bitch.
No, you're.
I like myself the way I am.
You're a delightful, sexy, mysterious woman. Hello.
Bye bye. Well, that certainly was helpful.
She can say that about herself if she wants to.
I guess.
We're not going to stop her, are we?
Yeah, it's not me.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of minutes before five.
Well, Larry Brown is in a little bit of trouble because he may have told one of the New York papers that coaching the Knicks is his dream job. I suppose that would be the kind of dream where you wake up screaming and thrashing the sheep. It's time for Sports at Trois, the very French sports professor. Thank you, Mr. Ambrosio.
Oui.
Mr.
Bruce Stevens and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
Get to the bottom. Have you...
Hey, let's speak sobbing.
Yeah.
I think Richie was for Klepp. Which is fine. I don't think there's any problem with two men on TV expressing their emotion towards one another. I mean, if you and Bruce did that on the radio, it would lose effect. Just crying on the radio sounds dopey.
Yeah. And we would never cry, either.
Never.
Oh,
no.
Come on.
Well, not about,
you
like,
guys wouldn't?
Not about one of us.
What if Del Haney came in and said,
well, then we cry.
I got to break you up.
You can stop
what
there.
What if Del Haney came in and said, I'm going to split up the morning and afternoon teams. Bruce, you're going with Diane. Colin, you're going with Ray. Now, even though we like those people a lot, we think they're fabulous, but you guys don't want to get broken up. Plus, it would mean one of you would have to wake up at the crack of dawn. It would be hideously bitter.
No, I would go to the bathroom and shoot myself privately, but I wouldn't...
That's a little strong, isn't it? That's a little...
But I wouldn't cry.
Now, also, here's the other thing. Yeah. The person going to the morning team has to put up with Bob Joyce as the producer
or
tech on the show. And whoever stays in the afternoon...
It would be a race to the bathroom.
Sure.
It would be like a traffic jam.
But anyway, so yes, reliable sources tell me that they were
sobbing like babies.
One was sobbing, one was for Clem.
You know, cry over the tsunami, people. You're going off to work in the carpet business or whatever. You don't need to be crying. Mr. Ambrosio, the question comes to us from New London.
Yeah.
From Don. He says, is there anything that eats wasps?
Germans, usually.
We really have to go. The evacuation. Okay, I have an update. Steve Wolfberg is here, although we're not really moving into the full-fledged, full-out Steve Wolfberg segment yet. I have an update on this whole emergency evacuation thing, which I gleaned from watching television out of the newsroom, which means it may be inaccurate. But, no, it's not, because they actually had the guy on. They had some guy named Kevin or something. He was, like, running the Office of Emergency Management, and he said, well, there's two buttons, you know, right next to me. I'm not making this up. He goes, there's two buttons right next to each other. One of them's for the weekly test, and the other one's for, like, the freaking end of the world where we evacuate. And some worker pressed the wrong button.
Are they
marked? How are you going to evacuate the entire state anyway?
That's the next thing. There was somebody who was doing the report. I think her name might be Jamie Roth or something. And she says, Kevin also said that there are actually no circumstances under which we would evacuate the state. Well, then why is there a button?
Right. Good question.
And why is Kevin running it anyway? But anyway, she said that there isn't any kind of alert where we would evacuate the state, but there's a button, and it's right next to the button that Clovis has to push every week, you know, to have the test.
Maybe what these people need, some PR, and, you know, that might be a good account for you to pick up.
You know, the resume is always out there. They know how to find out about us. And if they need some button pressing PR,
you know, or good goodwill.
So Kevin said they were taking some precautions. They're going to put some tape over the over the bad button.
Don't press this.
We're going to put some tape over it.
The bad button.
I don't think it's going to happen anymore. We got some tape, and we'll just put it over that button, and it's fine. I don't believe this place. I really don't believe it. All right, so we're going to be talking to Steve Wolfberg about, I guess, the upcoming Super Bowl advertisement.
Officials at the State Office of Emergency Management say there was no emergency, but an emergency message was issued this afternoon. Automated equipment at broadcast stations and cable systems was triggered by the false message shortly after 2 o'clock. WTIC News talked with Carrie Flaherty at the Office of Emergency Management.
An erroneous message was sent out that was notifying people to evacuate the entire state of Connecticut. And that message is erroneous. And we are sending out alerts now to all the news medias and other critical agencies to notify everybody that that was an erroneous message. And right now we're checking to see why that happened.
Federal agents and Hartford police have arrested dozens of people for their alleged involvement in one of the largest crack cocaine distributions.
I'm home. What are all these boxes doing in the living room? Lotte, you have some explaining to do.
Oh, Ricky, look. The Connecticut Lottery has a new $2 scratch game. And guess who it stars? Me, Ricky.
Connecticut Lottery? Scratch game? Honey, that's the most cockamamie story you'll ever come up with.
It is not cockamamie. It's true, Ricky. You wouldn't let me be in your nightclub act, so the lottery signed me. They obviously know talent when they see it.
What's in all these boxes?
Ooh. Lucy tickets?
Lotte.
Oh, but look, it's 5 different photos. Here's one of you and me together. Oh, honey, you and I got married in Connecticut, remember?
Do I remember? Ay, 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 pero mira.
I Love Lucy, brought to you by the Connecticut Lottery. Pick up an I Love Lucy scratch game today and get 10 chances to win up to $2,000 instantly. Odds are 1 in 4.43. Purchasers must be 18 or older. Please play responsibly.
After 6 and now, WTIC 1080 News, here's Bill Pierce.
Thank you, Bruce. There was no emergency, but an accidentally triggered emergency message did make for some rapid response this afternoon. Kerry Flaherty at the Office of Emergency Management says a false evacuation order somehow found its way into the automated equipment and was issued by some broadcast and cable operators. He says afterwards, the phones at OEM were pretty busy.
Apparently, it scrolled across all the television screens across the state, so we were getting calls from all over the state, such as news medias like yourself and even from some private citizens.
There was no emergency of any kind. What was supposed to happen was a routine weekly test. Flaherty says emergency management officials are investigating how the false message got into the system. Federal authorities released new information.
You and I, we have the soul. So I keep on saying, play one more for my radio sweetheart.
We're kind of sitting this one out today. You Diane Smith.
Oh, why?
Well, we have a little bit of fence thing to do with that.
Wait a minute.
Kind of our radio.
Wait, just a minute. We have some fence mending to do?
I think it's both of us. More me than you.
Why is it that you shoot off your mouth and say something really awful and hurtful and disgusting and to a colleague, and then all of a sudden it's our problem?
I thought you kind of went along with me.
All right, I do.
Okay, well, here's what happened for people who weren't listening in this time. It was 5 o'clock.
I've heard eight different versions of it so far today.
I blame Mr. Ambrosio, quite frankly. As Jim Calhoun would say, quite frankly, I blame Mr. Ambrosio.
Right.
So we had Mr. Ambrosio on. And the person I really blame is Tony Terzi, or possibly Rich Coppola. That's who really started the whole thing, if you think about it. And Chris Francis. Chris Francis would be another person we could blame.
Well, Chris Francis is definitely.
There's a list of culprits.
On a number of different levels there.
If this thing went to The Hague, it would take months to try everybody, because there's so many people who are at fault.
Right.
So, just to backtrack. Yes, we got
Bobby must have something to do with this, too.
We got an email yesterday from Chris Francis, meddling little Chris Francis. And he was curious about an incident that had transpired, allegedly, the night before on Channel 61, where it was Tony Terzi's last night doing sports. You ever met Tony Terzi?
I don't think
I have. Very nice guy.
I met Al.
Very
I don't
nice
think
guy.
I've met Tony.
Very a swell guy. His last night doing sports there. And according to Chris Francis, or according to somebody Chris Francis had talked to, Both Tony Terzi and Rich Coppola, who I believe he's the regular sports guy, the main sports guy, right? Is he the main sports guy?
He is the main sports
guy.
Okay. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's maybe kind of a collaborative effort there.
Yeah,
they have like three different guys, I think.
Yeah. It's bigger than any one person.
Yeah.
Sports is Channel 61, obviously. They could almost
working there with Susan Christensen. And
right. So anyway, apparently Tony...
Not going to say anything bad about her?
No, absolutely not.
That's amazing.
She's a fine woman and... No, I have nothing to say about her. I mean, she's got to be sweating this whole Social Security reform, obviously, but... apparently Tony became verklempt. And maybe he became more than verklempt. I mean, apparently became weepy.
He was sobbing.
It was the last...
That was the report.
Yeah, we were crying. And that Rich Coppola became, who was not leaving, became at minimum verklempt.
Maybe that's why he was sobbing.
Yeah.
He's not leaving.
He's not leaving, yeah. And so they're both like, you know, I love you, Richard. I love you too, Tony. I don't know if they said whether they loved each other or not, but I mean, it was, they were.
Imagine what they were like when the Whalers left.
Yeah, sobbing like a couple of little, you know, baby girls up there. So we brought all this up. And so Mr. Ambrosio, who tends to side with the sports casters in situations like this, understandably, said, well, how would you guys be in a similar situation? And I said, well, I mean, really, you know, Tony's leaving. And that's the other thing. Tony's leaving because he wants to leave. He doesn't want to stay there. He's got a different job he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he said, Mr. Ambrosio said, well, what if you guys had to leave? And we said, well, we'd be fine with it. And he said, well, what if there was a meeting and Sal Haney came in here? And we said, well, then we both would cry, actually. He said, no, but what if Sal Haney did come in here and announce that he was splitting you guys up, and one of you was going to go work with Ray, and one of you was going to go work with Diane. And you weren't going to be a team
anymore. You can just imagine what that would be like.
Yeah, and so I said, well, we wouldn't be crying about it on the air. We'd just go in the bathroom and kill ourselves.
Right.
But we'd do it in a quiet way.
Right.
We wouldn't inflict our distress on anyone else. So somehow or other, this managed to hurt Diane's feelings. And I just want to say that she's our radio sweetheart, and we said it. The only reason I said it was to be mean, not because I actually feel that way or that. And, you know, for all she knows, I was thinking about working with Ray. I mean, I didn't say I'd kill myself if I had to work with Diane, did I?
No, you didn't specify.
No, I just. Oh, maybe I would just kill myself if I couldn't work with you anymore. That's what I was expressing.
I think that's probably what it is.
There certainly is. My statement was also open to multiple interpretations. But Diane was upset by it. And then additionally, and I haven't discussed this with you yet, but I think this may have fed the whole situation.
What?
There was another problem.
Oh, another problem?
Yeah, that I haven't discussed with you.
Okay, and I assume you're going to be discussing it now?
We're going to discuss it right now, yeah.
Okay. Right.
Well, on Valentine's Day, we're going to have Teresa Pelham on. And so
there's one problem.
Teresa Pelham is going around telling people that she's our Valentine.
And she apparently told that.
Oh, well, that's not so bad.
But she apparently said that to Diane.
We could do that a lot. We could do a lot worse.
We could do a lot worse than having
a lot worse.
But she said that to Diane, see? Because they have some, they do some exercise thing, or I don't know, they get naked, or I don't know what they do exactly. I think they were naked when this happened.
I don't know.
But anyway.
Rather not comment on
that. Some moment when they were both feeling kind of vulnerable, Teresa said, well, I'm Bruce and Colin's Valentine.
Yeah.
Now, she thought Valentine's Day, yeah.
Right.
Not necessarily. I mean, she's,
why, her husband, Doug,
Valentine.
Well, I would assume.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. It seems to me.
One can always
that's
fantasize.
That's Valentine she is, but this was upsetting to Diane.
Well, Diane, why would it be upsetting to Diane? Diane already has her own Valentine.
She has a Tom.
Right, exactly. So why would she be upset about that?
Well, I don't know. Still, you know, on the other hand, you know, she's thinking, I don't know exactly. Women are, who can figure out women? Women are very complicated.
Really?
Who can figure them out?
Yeah.
They're moody.
Really?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
That's the feeling that I'm getting. But anyway, so there's a lot of etiquette kinds of issues today that have come up. I mean, I just covered one of them.
Etiquette issues.
And I'd like to spend the next few minutes covering a few other ones, if that would be okay with you.
Sure, yeah.
I mean,
that'd be great.
These are not etiquette issues that I'm bringing up to put you on the spot, because to tell you the truth,
You just love to do that.
I do like to do that,
yeah.
But I'm not going to do that here because I think you and I are on the same page about it. About everything
well,
that I'm
why don't we bring them out here? By the way, thank you for the orange.
Yeah,
this is very nice. I haven't eaten it yet because I just had a salad.
First nice thing I've done to you for you in 8 years. I understand that, but I did bring you
maybe the second, but you did give me your book.
Yeah, I occasionally have done nice things for you, but not very often. We won't make it a habit. Don't worry.
I know.
So that's another etiquette issue. Doing nice things for other people. It's not a good habit to get into, in my opinion. But if anybody has an etiquette question as we go along here, call 522.
Oh, we're taking etiquette questions over the phone?
Yeah, 522-WTIC or 1-800-96. Or if they want to comment on the etiquette issues that I'm about to bring up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's the first one. Yeah, last night around 5:30, we
this wouldn't have anything to do with you, would it?
No.
Okay.
Well, it does, yeah. But it has to do with you, too.
Oh, right.
We had Steve Wolfberg in here.
Yes, we did.
And did you notice that right at the end of his little segment,
he
says, he says, without really even looking at us, not that I like people looking at me, I don't, but without even kind of looking at us,